Hey out there, are any of you wondering what it matters to read old, dusty books written by dead guys? Well, tonight we're going to answer that question, and I hope it will inspire you and give you some insight. We will talk about it in a second.
Welcome to Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi and welcome. Tonight we are going to talk about political freedom, and we're also going to talk about how that ties in with literature. And I know that for some of you, you might be scratching your heads and thinking, this is an odd topic, and those two things don't seem to be related. But I hope you'll see very quickly how they are related and what you can do in your own personal life to promote freedom in our country. We are here. I do not have a guest tonight, but the Lord really put this on my heart. I had the privilege of being at two homeschool conferences. One was our very own Finish Well, and the Lord really blessed, and we were able to make friends and meet people and see people encouraged in their homeschooling journey, and that was just such a blessing. Another situation was that Laura and I got to go to Jacksonville, and we were part of the Harry Homeschool Convention, and we got to hear Michael Ferris speak. And he was talking about the state of the nation and how that related to homeschool rights and how that related to homeschool freedoms. And I was talking about the various things I tend to talk about when I visit homeschool conferences. I think I had a workshop on lesson planning, and I had a workshop on literature. And as I was teaching the literature workshop, I asked about certain books. Has anyone ever read this book? And has anyone ever read this book? And the hands stayed down. And I felt so sad because here I am. I love books. And I want the younger homeschool moms to value books and to build a homeschool library and to invest in quality literature. And so I tried my very best to inspire them and talk about books I loved and how wonderful they are. As I got home after a few days of getting back into the routine of life, I began to kind of just ponder over many of the things that I had heard and seen and even said in the past few weeks, and some of the things that have gone on in our nation in the past couple months have caused me to sit back and say to myself, where is the United States of America that I knew as a child? Where is that sense of freedom, of that desire to work hard and to make it, to have the freedom to try, the freedom to succeed, and even the freedom to fail? As I look around the world that we live in, I see so much of technology being part of our minute-by-minute life. And I know some of you are listening right now. You're listening on your cell phone or you're listening on your laptop, and I'm so glad that you're doing that. And in so many ways, technology has been such a blessing. But technology gives us a gateway to what I like to call passive entertainment or leisure that disengages the brain. And in doing so, we become more and more of a mush brain, because a lot of the things that we can do on technology causes us to want to do them more. I don't know if you have ever had a potato chip. There used to be a commercial when I was a little girl, you can't eat just one. You take one bite and you have to have another and another and another. And I know that's true for me, for potato chips. I think for many, many people, it is true of them that give me a video and then give me another video, or give me, you know, a funny YouTube video and then give me more, give me more, give me more, give me a computer game, give me more, give me more, give me more. And we become people who live in a state of wanting the next fun fix, and we find our delight in having the highest score of that group game online, or we meet people in little chat rooms at the side of games, and that's where we're heading in the future with technology. And I'm not here to bash technology, because I'm grateful for all the things that I'm able to do because of technology, and I believe Jesus wants to use technology to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But the reason I bring that up is because so many of the things that capture our attention in our day and age do not involve a lot of thinking. They do not involve a lot of reasoning skills. They put us into a very passive place. And in a passive place, we are very likely to hand over our freedom to the government in return for a sense, a feeling, it's not real, but a feeling that we are secure. One of the things that when I was starting to homeschool, I read some various books, and they led me to read some literature that was written in the Soviet Union of how to get other nations to slip into socialism. And one of the things that it recommended, now this was written back in the 1970s, and it was a real document written by the Soviet Union and shared with their little communist groups around the world. It basically said, you want to get people into a place where they're not actively thinking. Now, they didn't say that in the letter. What they did say in the letter is, they said, one of the methods that you can do to get people ready to accept a nation ready to accept socialism is to get most of the nation on drugs of any sort. They can be recreational, they can be prescription, but they need to be drugs that work in calming the mind down or causing the mind to slow down. And, you know, we think of what was going on in the early 70s. There was, you know, the hippie revolution, there was the anti-Vietnam War marches, there were civil rights marches, there was most of what was going on, and I'm all for the civil rights marches, and my mom was very involved in the civil rights, but a lot of what was going on during that time was a protest against what was, and let's make a change, and some of those changes were good, like equal rights for people of a different skin color, but some were bad, and a lot of drug use was going on at that time and in that way, and the drugs made people do and say things that they probably wouldn't have said if they went on drugs. Well, that's the kind of thing that can happen when even, you know, you're on Ritalin because you're hyperactive and you're a little boy who wants to be a little boy and not sit still. And your mind is put into, I call it mush mode. Your mind's into mush mode. And so if you look around at our nation, that is one thing that I don't think anyone did it, you know, because the Soviets wrote this, you know, memo, everyone should try to get their nation to take a lot of drugs. But whatever, for whatever reason, we find ourselves living in a time when many people are medicated. They're medicated with antidepressants, they're medicated with anti-anxiety medication, there's recreational drug use, and all of those things cause our mind to go into neutral. Well, what is the problem with that, and how does that relate to political freedom, and then how does it relate to literature? And I am going to get there. So when we think about political freedom and going back to our founding fathers were men who valued freedom, they valued hard work, and they valued having their own property and running their own life. Those were very, very important to them. So important to them that Patrick Henry, who was a devout Christian, by the way, said, "Give me liberty or give me death." And liberty, freedom was so important to him that he was willing to lose his life in order that his children, his grandchildren, his friends, and his neighbors could enjoy freedom. So how did they see this idea of going into mush mode? Well, they did not go into mush mode. They not only were very active physically, many of them were plantation owners who worked very hard on their farms, and and they managed large amounts of people. Some of them were lawyers. They worked. All of them worked very hard. All of them, if you go back and you read their diaries, they got up early, they worked hard, they were working all day. But they also left a lot of time for education, and they were very, very well read. Not just with books that were being released in their day, like Adam Smith's Wealth of the Nations, we always hear that quoted from, very few people read it, but that was written in 1776. It was published, not written, it came out in 1776, and the writers of our Constitution, many of them read that book and actually embraced the principles of the free market system. But one of the things that many of them said is that if we are going to maintain a nation that is free, that loves liberty, that loves that idea of, you know what, let's just have enough government to do what government's supposed to do, and let me live my life, and let me work hard, and let me take care of my family. If we are going to have a nation that values freedom, we are going to have a nation that is educated. And the question then becomes two things. What does it mean to be educated, and how do we get that freedom-loving education? So let's start with what it means to be educated. The American Revolution happened in the latter part of the 1700s, and even closer to the end of the century was the French Revolution. And both of them were very different. They were founded on very different philosophies. And there is a book written by an British justice, and he compared the two revolutions. And I've always heard it quoted from, and I thought, oh, I've got to read this book. And I sat down to read that book, and after a few chapters, I felt tired. I felt exhausted. It was like my brain hurt because it was hard reading. Again, not this past year, but the year before, we studied American literature, and we started back with some of the literature was about the time of our freedom-loving founding fathers, and my kids were reading it, and they said, wow, this is hard to understand. And it wasn't just that there's some idioms and things that have changed, but basically our language is very, very similar. But what was hard was that it was written at a more intellectual level than we are used to reading. And so the men at that time were very well read, and the reading wasn't lightweight. It wasn't, you know, like I read the newspaper every day and I read all kinds of books, but most of what's published in our world today is written at about a fifth grade to eighth grade level for us today. Translating back then would be more of about a third grade level. So we have dumbed down what we publish, what we print, what is available for people to read. We've dumbed it down because to read those things from the past makes our brain hurt. We're not even used to it. And so I want to stop right there and give you the idea of the discrepancy between the intellectual level of the reading of the Founding Fathers and the level of what we read today. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about why that makes such a big difference and how you can learn to not just read but enjoy reading at the intellectual level of the Founding Fathers, and that you too can be one who values freedom enough to make a difference and change the nation for the people around you.
Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workshops like Real Men Build. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their daughter Katie Beth Curtis, have written this comprehensive Bible study to help men of all ages grow in leadership in the home, in the church, and in the world. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions. Being world changers, raising world changers. You've been listening to Finish Well Radio on the Ultimate Radio Network. Now back to your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, welcome back. We have talked about how the Founding Fathers valued education. They felt education was necessary to preserve liberty or freedom. And we have talked about the reading level that they had, which was much more intellectual than we have today. And we have compared our culture today with the mind mushiness compared to the active mind back in those days. So let me just take you to the War of Independence was won. And it was time to write a constitution. They, of course, first wrote the Articles of Confederation. And the Articles of Confederation were not really strong enough to hold the nation together. So they had a constitutional convention, and they created a constitution. And there were two camps of people. There was the camp that said, hey, we love this, let's ratify it. And there was the camp that said, we hate this. Let's not ratify it. This is going to create a monster. This is going to create a power-hungry central government, and we don't want that. So the people who wanted it were called the Federalists, and the people who didn't want it were called the Anti-Federalists. The Anti-Federalists were men like Thomas Jefferson, Patrick Henry, Henry Lee, and the men who wanted it were James Madison, George Washington, and John Adams. And so, I mean, there were many more, but it's very divided. And it wasn't just that the whole nation said, oh, let's have a constitution. So they began to write these letters to the editor, and the letters were later collected, and the letters for the constitution were called the Federalist Papers, and letters against it were called the Anti-Federalist Papers. And they had some amazing arguments. They had some amazing things to say for and against the Constitution. Now, if we are lovers of liberty today, we want to be able to read those letters, and we can see in them warnings of things that have come to pass, and we can see in them wisdom in how to make a difference. But many people, like if you're listening right now, you probably think, oh, I've read a Federalist paper. Arg, arg, help, that was awful. Only because it was just written at a more intellectual level. But guys, the writers, some of them were lawyers, but a lot of them were just farmers. They were just plain, ordinary guys who made education a priority in their life because they wanted to preserve freedom. And so if you're listening and you don't like the way America is going, and you are concerned the federal government has more power and passive minds give up more and more power because they don't realize, they're not able to think through the ramifications of a, quote, free gift, unquote, from the government. They can't understand it. It's not really free, and it's feeding the power-hungry monster. And so if you sit here as a young man or young woman, and you can make a difference, you have the rest of your life in front of you, you can write books, you can run for office, you need to be someone who knows what has gone on before. You need to be able to read men and women from history who valued liberty, men and women from history who didn't value liberty, and how they enslaved people. You need to understand the philosophies behind different things because nothing is new under the sun. Yes, we wrap it up in a different package, but nothing is new. So I share all this because you are probably sitting there saying, yes, I want to change the world. I do want to read these things, but why are they so boring? Well, let me put it this way. Say that you decide you're going to run in a marathon. And you get up and you say, I'm going to run. I'm going to run in the 10K. So I think I'm going to go out and I'm going to just run 2 miles. You go out, you start running, and you make it to the stop sign, and you feel like you're going to die. And you come back limping because on the way home, you twist your ankle, and you get in the house, and you say, that is just too hard for me. And that's it. And you give up. Well, you should realize, if you've ever run before, I used to run when I was younger, and my husband was a runner, and his dad was a track coach and a runner, that you build up slowly. You work out, you eat right, you stretch, you start with just a little, and you build up more and more and more, and you can start out where you can barely make it to the end of the street, and you can work your way up to running a 10K. In the same way, wherever you are intellectually, you can work your way up to the place where you can not just read things that were written 200 or 300 years ago, you can actually enjoy them. But you have got a lot of mushy brain cells, and they need to be called to life, and you need to say, mushy brain cells, it's time to come to life. And you're not just going to be able to pick up Wealth of the Nations by Adam Smith if you are used to reading The Hunger Games. It is not going to happen. You are going to have to build up to the point that you can read that. And so here is what I am going to challenge you with. Literature is a big way to grow in your vocabulary, in your understanding, and your ability to read. Why? Because literature is interesting and engaging, and it's a story. And a lot of the literature that was written after 1960 is very dumbed down. It's very easy to read. Your dog might be able to read it. He might be smart enough to read it. No, I'm just kidding. He wouldn't. But it's very, very easy to read. And if you want to build up to where you can read more difficult things, you're going to need to start back with older writing, older stories, not written for adults, but written for children. Because a lot of the literature written by people like Howard Pyle in the 1800s, that's about equal or harder than what we read today for adults. So you go back to some of this classic literature, G.A. Henty and other writers, and you begin to read and you begin to exercise your brain. And you train your brain to want good things. If I am eating junk food at McDonald's, I'm not going to just start loving to eat a salad. But if I slowly start introducing salads and vegetables and fresh fruits into my diet, over time, I'm going to really like them. And eventually, I'm going to choose what's healthy over what's not healthy, unless it's raining and I just need a brownie. But you know what I'm saying. It's not bad to read easy writing. That's not bad. It's not an evil thing. But you have to also exercise your brain just like you exercise your body. So what I would encourage you to do, if you have never read classic literature, then start with literature written for children. And go from literature written for children to literature written for adults. And then just keep going back a little further, and finally, when you are sitting down with Charles Dickens and you are enjoying that, and it is a pleasure, not a burden, you will be ready to read all kinds of books. You're going to be ready to be able to read what people have said through the ages, and you're going to be able to be someone that others can trust. Oh, he just didn't read about Uncle Tom's Cabin. He read Uncle Tom's Cabin. He just didn't read about the Communist Manifesto. He read the Communist Manifesto. He knows what it said. And in fact, he's read a couple of other books by Marx, and he's compared them with Scripture. And he's also read Wealth of the Nations by Adam Smith, and he's compared that with scripture. And see, people can follow someone who knows what they're talking about. Now, people can follow anyone, but we want to have integrity before the Lord. And so if you struggle with reading, don't say, oh, I'm going to be an engineer, it doesn't matter. Or don't say, well, you know, I'm going to be a bug guy. I'm going to spray houses for bugs. Whatever you want to do, none of that is bad. But remember, it was farmers who planted seeds that read Adam Smith, that read John Locke, that read Samuel Rutherford, and that grappled with those ideas. And I want to encourage you, I believe that prayer and revival will change this nation. But there will also be a place for people who will choose to grapple with ideas, who will choose to exercise their mind and challenge others to exercise their mind. And in the pursuit of reading great things and comparing and contrasting them with Scripture, you will awaken in yourself and others a love of freedom and a love of liberty. And you may just be the one to call a nation back to a love of freedom. So, I hope that sheds new light on why literature is so important. And if you're looking for lists of books to read, my website, JS Homeschooling, or joyfulandsuccessfulhomeschooling.com, both.com, you can get on those websites, and we have free book lists, and you can download them, and you can find good books on there. I just hope and pray that you will say goodbye, mush brain. Hello, good literature. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Hurst and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.